Zander v. Continental Casualty. Mr. Brown?
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Philip Brown. I'm counsel for Continental Casualty Company. We ask the court to reverse the district court's decision to grant summary judgment in favor of Dr. Zander and against Continental Casualty Company for two reasons. First, the court misapplied the plain language of the insuring contract when it determined that income, rather than ability to work, was the benchmark for deciding when Dr. Zander became disabled. The second reason is that the district court made a determination that that Continental Casualty Company had found Dr. Zander disabled when there's no such reflection in the record. In denying Continental Casualty Company's motion for summary judgment and in granting Dr. Zander's motion for summary judgment, the court read the insurance policy, the contract, to cover...
If your position is correct, would that mean that he would be entitled to disability payments while he was receiving his salary? Because it was the year before the adjustment?
The formula is, in this particular instance, there's a complex formula for payment of these doctors at this clinic. It's on a 15-month lag.
But according to your position, Prudential had to cover him when he became disabled, even though he's paying his full, even though he's receiving his full salary, and it isn't going to be until next year, following year, that he would lose his salary because he couldn't, because he hadn't worked the previous year because of his problem. So isn't it your theory that, well, even though he's still earning money because of this lag in payment, Prudential would have to pay him his disability, so he'd have a double salary that year.
And I think that reaches the precise point. It's not
I asked you a question.
Yes.
Is that what your position
is? No, that's not our position. Our position is that disability is based on production. It's based on the ability to work. It's not based upon income.
Okay, in year one, he can no longer work, but he receives his full salary. In year two, he's not going to receive any salary. In year one, I thought your position was, in year one, Prudential is responsible for his disability entitlement rather than you. Okay? So wouldn't that mean that he would get his full salary in year one, which he's getting because of this lag, but he'd also get the Prudential disability payment?
I don't think he'd get the disability payment until...
Why not?
Because he's still receiving income from prior production.
And well, part precisely. So if the policies replace income, it's you who is liable because it's in year two that he loses his income and needs replacement, and that's where your obligation kicks in.
And our position is that the policy insures the risk against the inability to work. And that's plain from the language in the policy. If you look at the insuring language, look at pages 4 and 5 of the certificate of insurance issued by Continental Casualty Company, it's plain that earnings is tied to production. And that's particularly apt in this situation where there's this complex formula. Dr. Zander wrote
I don't know what you mean by plain language. The relevant language is, you're eligible for benefits if due to an accident which causes loss commencing while coverage is in force. So he didn't incur a loss until your coverage came into force. He had no loss in year one, in my example.
That's only if the court accepts that loss only means income.
I don't see how you can argue that it plainly doesn't. But also, I don't get the logic of it. You think the loss is that the benefits entitlement arises when he suffers a loss in the sense of the disability. Well, that's year one in my example, and I don't understand why you say that Prudential wouldn't be required to begin its disability payments then.
there's always two prongs to the analysis. The analysis is when production decreases, the inability to work, and then when there is an economic loss that's associated with that. The court brings up...
Sure, the economic loss incurs in year two, and that's when your coverage is enforced. But, I mean, you use the word loss, that's what it looks like right in the policy.
If I may use an example, if there's a salesman who is paid his commission 6 months after he actually makes the sale, and that's the arrangement, most analogous to this situation. 6 months after he actually makes the sale, he receives the income. If he is struck down and rendered comatose in January and never returns to work, no one could reasonably say he was not disabled in January when he was unable to work.
But that's not the language of the policy. The language talks about the loss.
Your Honor, I respectfully submit that the language deals specifically with production.
You talk about earning?
The language the language in the policy that deals with earnings deals with production.
Well, earnings means he's actually earning the money.
Yes.
And I guess the question that I have that is related to what Judge Posner says is it without question that for 1996, whatever he produced in 1996 earned, he is not paid until 1997.
Yes, that's
and
correct.
That if he were in this auto accident, comatose, etc., he would have still gotten all of that money.
That's correct.
That's without question.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, well, you're also saying then if the policy, it's two-pronged, that he has to be disabled and no earnings or no payment or income.
That's correct.
So it is this two-pronged issue that he can't be eligible until after he quits getting money.
Well, eligibility, and we're using terms of art.
He can't get any money. He can't receive any money until after he's not.
Depending on the formula of the policy. That's correct. Unless there's a drop in there, unless at the point where the loss is realized, and I'm not that familiar with how Prudential's formula is. But unless
I was going to ask you, does Prudential have to, do you think Prudential should have had to pay?
Absolutely. The inability to work, and this is, we cited this in the brief. It's what Couch discusses when he talks about disability insurance. He says that Couch says that the design of a disability insurance contract is to recompense an injured person for their inability to work.
Recompense them for the lost earning. If they can't work, but their employer decides to pay them. Then what?
Well, and
but you have a very nice employer and says, yeah,
yes.
Sander, you can't operate anymore, but we like you, we're rich, so we're going to continue to pay your salary. So in that case, would he be entitled to anything?
Depending on the specific language of the policy.
Well, we have two policies here. Would he be entitled to anything?
Not until he had the actual decrease in income.
But it would be reaching back to Prudential, in your view.
Yes, it's the inability to earn.
There might be 10 insurance companies between when he was disabled and when they finally kicked him off, right? And then you have to reach back to the first one to match the event giving rise to disability to the policy. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor. That's
what's the point of that? Sounds really
because that's the risk that's contracted
absurd.
For. That's the risk that the
and
insurance company
hardly,
would take.
No one reading this would agree with you that it was plain on its face what it meant.
Your Honor, we would submit that the context of the policy language requires a reading of an inability.
Also, do you regard this as a deferred compensation scheme, as in your salesman example?
No, it's just
so
not.
So why'd you use the salesman example?
Because it's analogous to our situation where the individual is paid on a delayed basis. It's not somebody who's paid at the end of the month for the services they provide that month. And that's plain. Nobody argues that. this is a delayed compensation formula. 15 months after the production, the individual gets paid. Even if he stopped working entirely in December 1996 before we insured the risk, he would have been paid 15 months. And I think it's unreasonable to conclude that he's not disabled at that time. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Ms. Potsgate?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Carol Hampson Posegate, and I represent Dr. John Zander in this appeal. Dr. Zander comes before this court to ask you to affirm the findings made by the Federal District Court through the Honorable Gene Scott. The issue before you is limited in scope. There has been no argument made that Dr. Zander is not entitled to disability benefits on a partial disability basis. The only issue that has proceeded to this court is whether or not the district court was correct in finding that Dr. Zander was entitled to benefits from the defendant and now appellant mental casualty.
If his pay is based on his performance the previous year, what was he paid his first year?
When individuals come to the clinic, typically they do not come in as partners, and so they come in as salaried employees. After a period of time, they qualify for buy into partnership at the clinic, and it is at that point in time that their compensation converts from a straight salary to a compensation formula, which takes into account a myriad of factors.
Well,
including,
is there a gap, though?
You mean is there a period of time over which they have no income whatsoever?
Right.
Well, I can't speak to that precisely, except that it's my understanding that there is a complicated arrangement under which there are advances made so that there is not a point in time where the physician goes entirely without income. That is
okay,
correct.
Thanks.
Well, I want to follow up on that just a second, because I have really the same question. I want to verify
yes.
that the work he did in 1996 is not compensated, is not paid for, or at least he's not paid for that until 1997.
That is not precisely true. The clinic is a large organization with a compensation formula. It provides that each physician will earn at a certain percentage of the overall income of the clinic at a given point in time. But because the clinic cannot determine what the physician produces at the moment, the formula sets income for a given physician in a given year based on statistical material from a previous year. So it's not following the dollar through
right,
from
you're
the...
You're saying what he's paid in 1997 is taxable in 1997. It's not his 1996 income that they waited 15 months to give him.
What he earned, what he earns, what he is paid in
1997,
yes, is taxable in 1997, right. Precisely.
Well, then, I just want to follow up here.
Yes.
That means that if he, in 1997, let's just say he went somewhere else
yes.
to another hospital, he wouldn't get paid in 1997 without working, would he?
That's correct. He's
yeah,
paid only when he
okay,
is
okay,
working.
Okay, but that's, my, that's a key question in my view.
Right.
He, all you've done with the 1996 income is establish a benchmark for how you're going to pay in 1997, because you don't know what he's going to do. So
that
you reflect back 1 year.
That is precisely.
And this is what cuts into this, because it does appear that he would not get paid if he left.
Well, there would certainly be a settling up in terms
well, yeah,
of...
Well, yeah, but that's when you leave a partnership and whatever they do when you leave. But the fact is, he's got to work in 1997 in order to get this payment, income, whatever you want to call it.
That is correct. He does not get paid if he doesn't work. That's
now,
true.
See, that isn't necessarily fatal, but it does cut in favor of arguing about Prudential. Unfortunately, you didn't appeal at Prudential.
The situation, though, is this. Because organizations such as clinics and any larger law firm, for instance, is unable to make a determination of the present year as to what the...
That's, of course. That's true with law firms, anybody.
That's right. And that's
Don't call that a draw. but you can call it anything you want. But he has to work in 1997 in order to get paid on a formula that happens to be based on his 1996 performance.
Yes, however, I would differentiate in this fashion. What the clinic has in essence said is in 1996, we are going to pay you on this percentage, and we are going to do that because we have taken into account your past performance, and we believe that this is an appropriate way to compensate you this year for the work that you're doing this year. They will then take another look at his income in another year when they have another history with respect to his earnings and income. But it doesn't necessarily mean that what he receives in, or what he, the work that he does in 1996 is in fact a loss in 96. The loss would occur when he fails to recover earnings from the clinic, as he did in this case in the following year.
So they just established a formula, and based on whatever revenue the income or whatever the business brings in 97, he's going to get a percentage of that based on his performance in 96, but it's going to be based on income in 97. If they had a bad year in 97 and he gets 10%, he gets 10% in 97, not 96.
There is no question that that's the,
okay, well,
the
that
fact, yes.
But that is your position, isn't it? That we are talking about 97 income.
Absolutely.
Calculated.
Absolutely. Dr. John Zander continued to perform at a level where his income was at full stream until he reached the point in late 1997 when his earnings dropped below 80%, and that's when he first incurred the loss.
I'm a little surprised that you're the appellee rather than Prudential, though. Isn't it a question not of whether Zander gets his disability, but which insurance company pays?
That is the position that I have taken from day one in this.
Has Prudential paid him?
Per the briefs, Prudential paid him for a period of time. They paid them from a period of 14 months.
That was a partial disability, actually, right?
Partial disability. There has never been a claim made of full disability in this case.
Well, let me put it this way. If Continental were to win this appeal, what would your client's situation be?
Then the
Prudential not recognized that? I mean, why aren't Prudential and Continental fighting it out between each other?
I can't speak to the relationships between Continental and Prudential because I'm not privy to them.
When you didn't appeal the summary judgment in favor of Prudential.
That is correct.
So what the answer is, he's out of luck. There's no way to get Prudential back in there, is there?
I believe that that's the way the record stands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any reason for that unusual? Is there something about Prudential's policy that somehow it doesn't match Continental's?
The Prudential policy, I believe, well, the Prudential language is different from the language,
right,
of Continental.
Oh, so they're not a perfect match. So he could actually fall between the two stools. Is that the problem?
That's not the position that we have taken.
No, I understand that, but that's what your concern is.
Okay. Right.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, and thank you to Mr. Brown. Next case for argument, Daiwa Special.